is this. Socrates was responsible for a fundamentally new way of philosophizing, of trying to grasp the world by means of human reason. And, for all their great genius and indeed their originality, Plato and Aristotle were deeply indebted to Socrates. Now, the mere mention of these three names may well be enough to call to mind the spirit, or, if you like, the very essence of philosophizing. The love of wisdom, after all, which is the literal meaning of the Greek word philosophia. We're going to try to do our best to understand the questions that they thought were the fundamental ones, and to begin to see the answers to those questions that they thought were the most impressive or persuasive. Together, then, we're going to try to see the world through their eyes. Now, Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle are, of course, linked by the common name philosopher that history has bestowed on them. They also share an historical epoch. The period of concern to us begins in 469 BC with the birth of Socrates, and it ends around 322 BC, which is the approximate year of Aristotle's death. But they also share a more intriguing bond, Socrates. Because Socrates was the teacher of Plato, and Plato, in turn, became the teacher of Aristotle. So taken together, then, Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle constitute one of the most remarkable flowerings of the human mind that the world has probably ever known. And this course is going to investigate their attempts to grasp the world as it is in truth, or according to nature, or by necessity. These are all ways of describing the heart of the philosophical activity. Now, I should note that this course doesn't presuppose any prior knowledge of or even exposure to our three thinkers. But I do hope that it will be of interest to those who have encountered these thinkers before. After all, the well that we'll be tapping here is a very broad and deep one, and I think we can only profit by returning to it again and again. Well, with that said, I have to admit that spending time with Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle can be a pretty humbling experience. And I'd be the first to say that it isn't always pleasant to be humbled. To be in the presence of such seriousness of purpose, such sustained intellectual intensity, such remarkable penetration, well, it's likely to make manifest our own limitations in these regards. But as I hope you will come to agree, spending time with Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle can also be inspiring and even exhilarating. As a result of their remarkable generosity or humanity, these great thinkers were concerned not only to possess for themselves the correct grasp of the world as it is in truth, they were concerned also to help those of us who are really just beginners make some such progress in that same effort as we're capable of. Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle were also teachers, in other words. And the works we will study are intended, after all, not for the masters, but for students, for us. So together, then, we're going to set out to discover the character of the new Socratic philosophizing. What was new or different or strange about his way of thinking? What especially marks his thought off from all those before him, whom we now refer to collectively, of course, as the pre-Socratics? We're going to consider the motives that Socrates had for making a fresh start, if you like. What problem or difficulty had stymied the earlier thinkers, according to him? And what permitted Socrates to think, as he evidently did think, that he had made more progress than they? And we'll look at the ways in which Socrates' two greatest heirs, Plato and Aristotle, adopted, but also adapted or altered the Socratic way of philosophizing. Well, this much, then, is a very general statement of the purpose of our course. Let me turn now to my second task today, and that is to sketch the major sections of our course. We're going to proceed chronologically, beginning, of course, with Socrates of Athens.